It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday, April 30th in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I am Jason Mackey, host of First 10, a daily podcast to get you ready for the day. And unfortunately, we're going to ruin your day early. Today, talking about the Pirates and their loss last night to the Oakland Athletics. We need to have a conversation about this. It's ugly. We need to find some solutions. I'm not sure what the solutions are, at least in terms of what the Pirates are able to do. But offensively, there should be alarm bells sounding, and I'm going to get into all of those. First, I want to remind you, though, that we are sponsored, as always, by the North Shore Tavern. You don't have to be a baseball fan to love it there, but the interior is wall-to-wall Pirates. There are appetizers, entrees, cocktails, and, of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone open every day. The North Shore Tavern across from PNC Park is Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone. So, wow. I've seen some bad baseball played by the Pirates. This one's right up there. I've seen this offense, this defense, this pitching staff go through some stuff. This is also right up there. Just not good at all. Get the hit by Ke'Bryan Hayes to start the game. They get gifted a run, two walks, two wild pitches. Didn't really do anything to earn it. And then they did nothing. Nothing other than a couple walks until O'Neill Cruz's single in the ninth inning. Just not much there. And I don't really care about this particular game. I don't know how we can ignore the stuff going on with this offense anymore. Tweeted out some numbers to this effect, and it has just gone so poorly over this last little while. Remember, they started 9-2. It was pretty good. Plus 21 run differential, scoring 6 runs a game. Wouldn't expect that to continue by any stretch. But over their last 19 games, they've gone 5-14. They've scored 50 runs. They've allowed 82, I believe, minus 32 run differential, averaging 2.6 runs per game. That's terrible. We talked on this podcast yesterday about something Ben Cherington said on his radio show where they only had 3 players meeting internal projections: Connor Joe, Joey Bart, and Alika Williams. We're talking about one legitimate member of this starting lineup or somebody who plays a lot, a guy they picked up, you know, out of sort of an emergency situation in Bart, and then Alika Williams, a backup infielder with a very small sample size. The rest of your team is not meeting internal projections or expectations. It's hard to blame every one of those guys individually. And I know I'm seeing tweets about, you know, Jack Sawinski, this Kutch, Tellez, Triolo. There's a lot of frustration in individual players. And I'm not saying any of it is unfounded. I mean, they should be getting a lot more production from a lot of people, but to me, that speaks to a problem that is much larger. And Andy Haynes is going to be the one that's circled and talked about. And at this point, for perfectly fair reasons, I'm not sure what the adherence is to this guy or this approach. It is not working. We're 30 games in, which I've tried to resist reacting to too much based on sample sizes. At the same time, I'm looking at a bunch of young hitters who don't know who they are. I fielded a phone call from a Pirates source yesterday, and he asked a really good question. What is the Pirates' identity? Like, what are they? What do they do offensively? I didn't have an answer, and neither did he, because I don't think they have an identity. I don't think they're anywhere close to an identity. Their identity is seeing a bunch of pitches, not necessarily doing anything with them. As you can see from the number of runners that they have left on base, which I believe they left, 3 tonight. They started the game having left 240 this season, tied with the Dodgers for the most in baseball. So, okay, you're seeing pitches and you're getting guys on base. You're basically walking well. You're not driving the ball. You're not consistently making contact. You're not showing a good two-strike approach or a good situational approach, which drove me crazy in the first inning. Keep Brian Hayes singles. They've got two on. O'Neill Cruz pops up to the shortstop. Why? You're a lefty. Pull the ball. Make a productive out. Bases loaded. Jack Sawinski strikes out after looking at two pitches right down the middle. Lift the ball to the outfield. I understand that Andy Haynes and the rest of the Pirates hitting staff is certainly not coaching that. They're not coaching looking at called third strikes. Maybe there's a misconception out there that they are. I don't know. But I'm not seeing, and I have not seen, many young hitters in this system get better, if any. I mean, Ke'Bryan Hayes found the best version of himself last year over the final 2 months because he started working with John Nunnally. And then they fired Nunnally. What else has happened? I mean, Jack Sawinski hit some home runs last year. That's it. That's what I got for you. Nobody else is producing much of anything. And at this point, something has to change, you would think. Like, again, 30 games into the season, I hate to be too reactionary. I think that sample size is way too small. At the same time, like, in not everything is relative to Paul Skeens, of course, but like, the entire baseball world is about to turn its attention to Pittsburgh in, I would argue, about 10, 11 days. It would be great if they weren't like, you know, an absolute mess, having gone like, you know, 6-24 or something. I'm just doing quick math in my head. That may be wrong, but, you know, you'd like it to not be a total embarrassment. It's probably based on precedent and how they felt about Andy Haynes in the past, too soon to do anything. I don't know if just firing the hitting coach would magically solve the problems. To me, it's deeper. I see a bunch of talented kids, and they're taking the bat out of their hands. And that drives me crazy. O'Neill Cruz was an excellent hitter in spring training, and it's almost like the Pirates got into him or something. I know that's probably fictitious and inaccurate or not totally accurate, but like, you're seeing a guy kind of wrapped around the axle upstairs who's not free and easy, who's not relying on his natural athletic abilities. I think Jack Sawinski's that same way. I think Henry Davis is that way to a degree. You're seeing guys more concentrated on an approach and taking pitches and working walks and getting into the opposing bullpen than actually hitting, than actually getting their best swing off. And you know what? If they swing and miss at this point, wouldn't you take it? I would. I wouldn't be that worried about it. But I think you got to start affecting change somehow. Derek Shelton said, you know, 2 nights ago, talked about having to like flip the narrative or whatever. They said that about 400 times on the Sportsnet Pittsburgh broadcast tonight. I agree with them, but like, what are you going to do to flip the narrative? You're going to change person. You should change something at this point. I'm pretty confident of that. Even if it's a minor thing, even if you don't want to react to a small sample size, look at some of the guys in the minor leagues. Nick Gonzalez, 385, 11 doubles, 1.027 OPS. Jiwon Bae is even hitting 378, a 1.068 OPS. Jake Lamb, of all people. I mean, bring him up. I don't know. You'd kind of screw with your 40-man roster, your 26-man roster, but at this point, I'm not sure what I'm clinging to. You got to do something. Gonzalez is probably an easy pick, but it has certainly been ugly. Just to tack on a couple things here around the sports world, I wrote a column about the Penguins I thought was an interesting thing. Not something I don't understand about them, and I keep reading things. And Matt Wenzel did an excellent piece talking to a couple different people about the situation the Penguins are in and what they can do and whatever. There's this general perception that they can't do anything. They're like hands are tied, and maybe it's a straw man. Maybe I'm imagining it, but I just don't understand that. Like, I wouldn't expect Kyle Dubas at his season-ending press conference to sit there and say, you know, we hate Tristan Jarry. We're going to trade somebody. We're tired of this, that, and the other. Like, No, that's unrealistic. But if we sit back and think about stuff that they could possibly do, they do have options. And I think they need to do something. I mean, I don't think Dubas came here and, you know, like, he's aware that they need to change. Fairly confident of that. And so inside of that question, you ask, what are the most realistic things? Erik Karlsson, Tristan Jarry, maybe one of the wingers. Anyway, I address all of that in there. And would urge you, ask you to check it out. There's another interesting story on Sportsnet Pittsburgh, by the way. They're starting their own streaming service direct to consumers. That is only in market. I wanted to point that out. There was some miscommunication over that or misunderstanding over that. But if you're out of market, MLB TV is the option. In market, you do get to stream it without having a cable provider, which is good. I mean, it's a step forward. I think it's something I've heard about a lot. I'm glad they did it. Another thing I just wanted to mention, I thought this was a well-done and well-worded column by Paul Zeiss saying the Steelers had an excellent draft, which they certainly did. I did my own piece about that, but they do have some holes. Talking a lot about defensive back, wide receiver depth maybe, but would urge you to check that out as well. And I think that's a fair point, where as much as we can get excited about what the Steelers did, and I love what they did up front, I think eventually they're going to have to address the defensive line. I do worry about a little bit about the cornerback situation, who plays in the slot, maybe next year who takes over for Dante Jackson, but I don't know. I can let the honeymoon exist for a couple more days. Anyway, I've said this, I've written this, really like what they did, but Paul brought up some really interesting points and stuff to be cognizant of. So that does it for me. Make sure you like and subscribe. You can get all the content from me and our other Post-Gazette writers. I'll be back here in the same space, same time, talking to you tomorrow.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.